Did I hear something?
Happy Sabbath.
That's it. Let's wake up. Okay, this is a joyous day. It's the Sabbath. What a true joy it was to experience the Feast of Tabernacles with three of our five children and four of our seven grandchildren in Mexico this year. We also were able to share quality time with many children of all ages in God's church, and in a different perspective. Allow me to explain this afternoon. As most of you know, Jane and I have been blessed with five children and seven grandchildren to this point. What a milestone to reach in our life. But this afternoon, I would like to share with you all of the blessings of God's knowledge that we have received from the split sermons and the sermons, the sermonettes, talking to the fellow brethren over a period of time. The four seasons of loving your child. So let's set the foundation from God's word. Allow me to start with some background. Jane, as a mother and grandmother, I, as a dad and granddad, and we take this very seriously as an indescribable blessing. Now, you may understand why I stated our children and grandchildren. For we are now in a new phase in our life and see God's word more clearly in another respect as we all grow here each day in respecting God. So for you young parents, for those who have been parents for 10 years or 20 years or more, and for those who are grandparents or great-grandparents, know this today. The four seasons of loving your child. Parenting is to understand, to teach, and to apply God's principles. So it is a very hard job for this responsibility that we have been given from God. You, us, are blessed from God. Blessed with little ones or big ones. They grow very rapidly. This blessing can be very rewarding. Excuse me, brother, I'm getting a little dry. Can be very rewarding. There are accomplishments, sometimes strange moments, much joy, much happiness, laughter, and love for your heart. I would like all of us, parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents, to think and ponder over three questions today and into the future. So let us begin with question one. Why does it seem that today's parents experience problems and challenges in raising children? Thank you, Don. Raising children that their own parents and grandparents don't recall. Number two, are modern children somehow different from their counterparts 20, 30, or more years ago? If children are not different materially from 20, 30, or more years ago, is there anything different about being a parent 20, 30, or more years ago? Well, today is a wonderful Sabbath, as I have mentioned, to review God's Word for the understanding of the four seasons of loving your child and answering these three questions. As we know, God gives His people a clear description in Scripture of His expectations for parents. A key is teaching their children the ways of a godly life. This is part of being a child of God ourselves. We must stay in focus on where it begins. First, on the marriage and the beginning of the parents. A bond and union that his spiritual implications, And I'm nervous because of sharing this word about our children and grandchildren, our little ones, which are so dear to us at this point in time. A bond and union that has spiritual implications, for we come before God and make a vow in front of witnesses to perform certain aspects in our life as the family begins. We must keep focused as we develop as parents in the fashion that God outlines for us, all of us. Children, it's coming. I did bring a hard copy. Children become more secure when they know that the marriage begins on this foundation. Parents that share a selfless love towards one another first, an agape love, a true love, a sacrificial love, a self-sacrificing love. Let me repeat that. An agape love, a true love, a sacrificial love, a self-sacrificing love. We can turn, if you'd like, or just listen. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love, agape love. This is a union that the child can witness and know a good mom and dad, a good husband, a good wife relationship, that they work together, developing an agape love more each day. We need to reflect God's will and God's ways in all aspects in our life. The best we can do for our child or children. Above all, a love towards God and a love towards one another each day. In good times, and in trials and challenges in this life. We as parents must remember to guide our child or children and recall that a child is a person themselves with a relationship, a personal relationship with our great God. We have been given this opportunity to share a godly life with them. Let us move on. Let us read God's Word. John 17:23-24. John 17 and 23:24 is stated by our older brother, Jesus Christ. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I deserve that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. He loved us before the foundation of the world. We, in turn, must love our children or child before birth. Now, let us keep it simple and begin where God begins. In Genesis. Genesis 2:24. And in Genesis 2:24, God tells us, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. One flesh. And Genesis 2:24, this records the moment that God, immediately after creating woman from the rib of the man, established marriage, the union of a male and a female, as the foundation of the family unit, the child-rearing unit. The meaning of this is clear. God intends for children to be reared by a man and a woman who are committed to one another for life. Period. It states that a man and a woman in question must be, in their parenting, united as one flesh, as we just heard in Scripture, in order for their marriage and therefore their parenting to work as God has planned it. What part is this of God's plan? We have all reviewed Deuteronomy in the past, especially chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. We understand as parents the ways of living a godly life. This is part of being a first fruit in our everyday life. A first fruit as God would like you to be, walking hand in hand. Let me put chapter 6, 4 through 9 in a little different phraseology for you. We begin with, love the Lord with your all, heart, soul, and strength. Follow his commandments. Teach them diligently to your children. Talk about them in your house. Walk, sit, lie, rise up with God's word. Bind them as a sign on your hand, your forehead, and write them on your doorpost and gates. This we just read again from Scripture. Not from me, but from God's word. As those of us who are parents and grandparents, those of us who are understanding we're getting older, when we're young, we think we're going to live forever. We're immortal. But as we get older, we realize more that we're not. We realize the importance of God's Word to each of us. The importance of the blessings that we're given. The importance of every day, not one day passing, of the blessings that we've been given. So I have set the foundation now for what is the point for this Sabbath again? The four seasons of loving your child. Allow me to reinforce this point that I've stated in a different sentence. I've stated first, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. Have faith. Ask for more strength in your faith. And be focused. Yes, we need to be focused. As parents, on a daily basis, stay focused on the bond of marriage, for that is where the family begins. Not the child or children, and you will understand what that can lead to as I go on in a few minutes. The next thing that can happen if when being a parent becomes out of focus of being a first fruit, the parents can sometimes get the idea that they can direct or even control their children's life more than they really can. The truth is that, as the old saying goes, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Bottom line is that we need to try to demonstrate and educate on God's way of life to our children so that they will respond to God with the hope and expectations that they will see its value. Educate. Yes, educate them in all manners. One above their physical body? What am I saying? Well, as a doctor, you know their physical body is very important, so I figure I'd throw this in. Eating healthy, being physically fit, giving their body rest that it needs, not invading their body with smoke or covering their body with tattoos. Because God's Word tells us, 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? As we all know, this is very hard work with the responsibility we have been given. But it is a blessing. It is a blessing. We are helpless. Agape love is so important, reflecting God's righteous character. Can we guide their development to new levels in their life? Are we assisting them, acknowledging how to carry things out or make the most out of a situation? Or, as we all have heard, knowing the line in the sand? Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds, do it. Do it with your might. Paul states in 1 Corinthians 13:13, "And now abide in faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love, agape love, self-sacrificing love." Colossians 3:14, "But above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection." The child or children will know what you value above all in your life. The child can see, can hear, and feel your true values. Peter tells us, 1 Peter 4:8, "Above all things, have fervent love for one another." We need to emphasize this love daily. Fervent love. Confirm this to your child or children, or our family children, right here, right now. These are our children. We are members of the family of God. We're family. Don is my brother. Okay, Judy is my sister. Noah is one of our children. Or Natalie. I won't say anything more, Natalie. As I was mentioning, Noah. Confirm this with your child or children as a family. How can we give our children positive support? We can say, "Noah, you have done a great job on that poster. Anna, your room is clean and well organized. Winston, that was a very wise decision of you to be steadfast on not drinking and driving." This will place them in a positive environment that will assist in developing their self-esteem. It will stabilize their emotions and keep them fulfilled, knowing that they are cared for, truly cared for by you. The principle is this: if treated well, loved, it will keep them as a wonderful new rose in a spectrum of array of bursting colors each day. 1 John says, 4:16, "And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." 19, "We love him because he first loved us." Are we reflecting and showing our love first? Then they will there in turn respond to his calling. Choose this way of life. God, we know, is doing the calling, and our children are doing the responding. Those results depend on a pretty large array of variables, many which are outside our control as loving parents. But, our drive must never stop. We must have that drive daily. We love God. Place your agape love into motion, into works. We need to be focused as a parent, as I stated. Where has our society gone with the directions of parenting and raising children? The world does not place agape love above all things in this world. So they can confuse their children of this world by thinking the world revolves around them. Do we? What are we saying to our children with our actions? Is our culture biblically based? Do you have family traditions that reflect God's will and His ways? Do you know, can you recall the three R's? Respect, responsibility, resourcefulness. What is different today? Where is humility and modesty? Where are our children today? Ephesians 6:1, as we know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There are biblical boundaries to respect, responsibility, and resourcefulness. A child must understand that they cannot do anything that they want in this world. There are lines in the sand, as I mentioned. Let us begin to understand the ways reflected in God's Word. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Modern technology. Give me a second, brother. I will get the gist of this. Here we go. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. The first season of parenting to your child or children is from infant to about age 2 years. This is especially when a child is helpless, cannot do anything for themselves, totally dependent on their parents. You as parents are in full servant mode. The parents' responsibility to give up their needs at times for the children. A child at this age is unable to tell you directly they are hungry or they need to be changed. Dad, down south needs to be changed now. You going to do it? We need to understand this is the time when the parents express outgoing giving love for their children in all the fashions they know and are growing into themselves with God. Never forgetting as they do for their mate each day. This is an expression of God's will and ways that the children can witness. I can remember our oldest daughter. Nicole was about 2 or 3 years old. I came home and my wife said, "Nicole, tell Daddy what you told me today." She turns to me. She looks up with her big blue eyes and her brown hair, her round face. I'll never forget this, as you could tell. And she said, "My hiney burped." Where in the world can you come up with a thought like that? Only a child's mind could think like that. The second season is usually from the age of 3 to 12 years of age. Your child begins to express their developing personality and character. Moms and dads who have been complete servants now need to begin to stand upright out of the servant mode and allow the child to grow into a godly fashion on their own. Yes, both parents need to guide their child or children with loving authority. Proverbs, as you know, tells us, Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the ways he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Your child needs to begin to understand and to see God's will and God's ways in his life, as we have discussed. And in your relationship with your mate, in the relationship with the brethren, and within the world and its ways, they need to witness that mom and dad are no longer within the servant mode too. The needs of the whole family are equally important, and the world does not revolve around them. The world now, as they are learning, is much more complicated. It is at this time within their life they may truly begin to understand the meaning of Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Your parents are reflecting God's laws within their life, to each other, and to everyday life. It is a time when the parent's statement is enough for the child to act upon. The parent does not need to explain all decisions for actions. The child needs to understand humility in their life with a loving touch of stability. For now, your child or children need to witness within their life as parents, their parents, the three R's, so that they may also display them within their life. Respect, responsibility, resourcefulness. I can reflect on another story within this age bracket with my son Carmen. Carmen was about 8 to 10 years old. At this time, he had one of those little tents on top of his bed, you know, that boys have. They like to, you know, be that frontierman. So they have the frontierman on their bed in their room. But Carmen's sleeping in his bed, and my wife woke up for some reason. I woke up, and she said, "I'm going to go down Carmen's room and check on him." So she walks down the hall, which has the nightlight in it. She walks into Carmen's room, which is pitch black. Now, Carmen, at the same time, just got out of the tent. He's reaching for the light switch. My wife is reaching for the light switch. She places her hand on Carmen's hand and flips the switch up. What do you think happens? You have this little body and this big head. And all my wife can tell me, she sees him with his mouth open wide, screaming at the top of his lungs, and his little part in the back of his throat is just wiggling. Of course, she tells him to go back to bed. She comes down the hall. I said, "What happened?" Well, she is hysterical. She can't go back to sleep. She describes the story to me. We didn't sleep for at least a half an hour. Just simple things that happen within a child's life and your life, experiencing life. Let's move on. Season 3 is usually from the age of 13 to young adult. Age of mentoring, teaching by example, teaching by working together, teaching by sharing projects, teaching by being alongside each other and guiding and sharing the rules that are required. Today, the parents that place too much emphasis on the child's self-esteem are keeping two seasons that are being a servant and being a buddy. And I will reach the seasons of being a buddy soon, but this will fall short at this point in time for that child. We must place a line in the sand. But we must realize, as loving parents, to heed God's word. Let us share in this season now the three C's. I know you're knowing all these threes, right? Recalling them? I could see the smile on someone's face. I won't say who. The three C's: correct communication, compelling consequences, and consistency. This is effective, loving discipline that we can read in Proverbs. Proverbs 22:15 states, "The foolish is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." Let me explain this, because sometimes we misunderstand what God is telling us. Discipline and guidance is required, and guidance in teaching and enforcing consequences for bad choices and wrong behavior. Yes, and this is true godly love, agape love. If we are loving parents, do not teach it to our children, the world will not be gentle to teach them. How are you truly mentoring your child or children? In what way are you teaching your child God's ways? How are you expressing outgoing, giving love to your young adult? And how are you reflecting this toward your mate so that your child may witness this? Good discipline is instructive as well as in that it teaches a child the crucial differences between right and wrong, between life and death. God tells us in Deuteronomy 30:19-20, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So now we're in season 3, moving into season 4. But I have another story. Now, some of my children are within this age. And for those that have spent time with me in my regular mode, let's sort of speak, I'm a person that likes to tease or tell jokes or prankster. And so our children, when they were all small, some of them teenagers, we all like to go to the amusement park. Hopefully you like to go to the amusement park. And one thing my two oldest love to do is ride on the roller coaster. At that time, I believe it was Six Flags, and they called it the Beast. So Nicole and Tina say, "Dad, let's go on the Beast." And I love rides myself. So they were asking the right one. Before that, we'd go to Kitty Land and the little bumps and stuff like that. But now Dad has a chance. Okay? Now, we don't sit in the middle. We don't sit in the back. We sit in the first row. And the roller coaster takes off. And those who've gone on steep roller coasters know it climbs. And it climbs. And it climbs. And then all of a sudden, it takes a quick dive. Well, when it took that dive, Dad screamed louder than any female you could ever know. And my children turned around and looked at me. We got off the ride and they said, "Mom, did you hear Dad screaming?" She said, "Well, I heard that voice. I wasn't sure who it was. I thought someone was being killed." The point of the story is this. My children loved that, but they said, "Dad, don't do that anymore. You're embarrassing us. Don't do that." Well, as I mentioned, I have 7 grandchildren. Now when we go to the amusement park, which we have gone a few times, what do you think my grandchildren ask me? "Poppy, are you going to scream when you go on the roller coaster with us?" It carries over to the next generation. I was embarrassing them, but yet their embarrassment was truly a joy. They passed it on to the children. My grandchildren say, "Poppy, are you going to scream?" And they didn't say, "Well, Poppy, are you going to scream?" They said, "Poppy, are you going to scream?" And I said, "You bet Poppy's going to scream." The fourth phase. Now the child is no longer a child, but now an adult. Therefore, equal to the parents. But we will always be their parents. There is a time for a continued loving relationship, to enjoy the parents and the child, now an adult. To enjoy the level is a wonderful blessing from God. We as parents must see our child or children as an adult. Now our children are our friends. And this is a wonderful state to have your children in. Let us not forget to hug them, to kiss them, to hold them tight and tell them you love them. That time is so precious. Show them in special ways that they may be surprised with at times. For we all need to share God's continuous agape love for them. They need to know this and feel this and witness this in their life. As your child who is now an adult, equal in relations with you, as an adult, asking advice from one to another as they grow, searching for wisdom and knowledge from God's Word, and praying together. Together. Notice the word I'm saying. Together. In everyday life, discussing topics of importance and agree and being able to disagree. A sharing of free wills in a manner that has been given to you both. Blessings to be used to glorify our God, the Father, now and always. My last story today. We were at the feast in Mexico this year. I had a young man come up to me who is now a young adult in his late 20s, who is married. I've known him since he was a young teenager. I know his whole family. He came up to me and said, Dr. Pacelli, he said, I've known you a long time. He said, if it is fine with you, could I call you something else? I said, sure, okay. What do you want to call me? He says, I don't know. I said, you know what? Let's both pray about it. And tomorrow we'll get together and we'll review. And we both prayed about it. As I mentioned, I've known him and his family members and his siblings since they were young teenagers. We met and I said, you know what would give me the most joy and happiness and the reflection of respect from God? He said, what? I said, if you would do me the honor of calling me Uncle Tony. He said, Uncle Tony, I will. We are responsible to guide our children in each season, one at a time, and to remember that we will assist developing your child. True loving friendship for eternity. Let us all give thanks for the blessings of our children today and every day in reflecting part of God's master plan. And I would like to leave you with a conclusion. A scripture that we all know, but it's for all of us, for we all are God's children. And God tells us in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And we know we are fed by our Father as his children if we read from Matthew 4:4. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.